Atheist Nomads episode 301, Drunker, Louder, and Definitely Cut.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to the episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin, and I'm actually sober right now. I'm doing this after doing most of the editing. Last week, for episode 300, I went ahead and tried to do the live experience almost exactly. Like, if it seriously impacted the audio quality of the audio, I cut it. But for the most part, I left it pretty untouched. This week, no, it's just not possible. Couple factors. One was, it was the fifth hour. I was drunk. Secondly, Lauren and Aaron were both pretty exhausted. I was also exhausted. So it was rough. And we ended up... Yeah, we'll get to some of that. And we'd also gone long on some of the earlier segments, and so we ran a little bit short on this one. Erin did have a hard end that she needed to leave, and so it ended up going a bit short. We also didn't talk about a whole lot of news, so I do want to cover some stories before we get into the live bit. We recorded this on April 20. Literally a couple hours before a splinter group of Muslim extremists detonated bombs in three churches and four hotels in Sri Lanka, killing over 250 people and wounding over 500 people. This was the worst attack in Sri Lanka in a very long time. This was a country that had a very rough patch when they got independence, with splinter groups and revolutionary groups. There was a communist revolutionary group. There was a the Tamil independence movement. And they had a very long civil war that ended in 2006. This is the first time, or excuse me, 2009. And this is the first terrorist attack to kill more than 100 people since 2006. And there's limited evidence that the National Tawhid Jamaath, militant Islamist group that had splintered off from another extremist group, that they did have some training and material support from the Islamic State, or at least what's left of it. The Islamic State is, they don't really have territory anymore, which means they're just back to being what they were before they had territory. They're a terrorist organization, pure and simple. And they were happy to find a group of rich Muslim extremists that they could help groom to carry out an attack on a largely Buddhist country against Christians. Mostly against Christians. They picked Easter. That's a time when Christians would be very likely to be traveling. They hit churches, two Catholic churches, one Protestant church, and they hit five-star hotels. This is grotesque. It's horrible. This is bad. There's no other way of putting it. And one of the things that is kind of concerning to see with it is the government's response has, they were very quick to blame Muslim extremist groups at the time when some people were starting to look at Buddhist extremist groups as possibly being behind it. Turns out the government knew, had leads that these were going to happen weeks ago and didn't think they were credible. A number of those high up people in the government are now looking for new jobs. but there were also claims that very quickly that the Islamic State was involved because the Islamic State claimed responsibility. That's been called into question. In the end, it turned out that yes, this was Muslims. It was Muslim extremists. There were some early claims from the government that this attack was in retaliation for the shootings at the Christchurch mosques last month, which is actually an absurd idea because this coordinated and detailed of an attack would have taken more planning than that. The amount of materials they had available, the amount of the fact that they traveled overseas for training before carrying out the attack. This was not something thrown together in a month. This was something that had been in the works for quite a while. Terrorists have a high likelihood of picking days with some kind of significance. They like anniversaries of events. They like holidays. And Easter was a perfect time to kill Christians. So they did. All right, Lauren's going to join me for these next couple news stories.
Yeah, if I don't sniffle too much.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. So we're going to stick with stuff that happened on Easter.
Big holiday.
Yeah, it wasn't just Muslims in Sri Lanka that were doing horrible things. Christians in Poland were as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one way of putting it. Everybody's getting their kicks on Easter.
So a Christian church in Poland, probably Catholic, because Poland is a predominantly Catholic country, decided to beat a effigy of Judas with sticks, literally just going to town on it. There's a video.
Like a pinata.
Like a pinata, yeah.
Right, because he betrayed Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And so you beat the betrayer of Jesus.
Okay. I'm with you.
All right.
Huh. Seems like there would be some issues with this, though.
So, Lauren, what do you think this effigy of Judas looked like?
Well, if it was anything like here in American portrayal, it was probably a ugly white blonde man. But that's not the case, is it?
Think of the most stereotypical Jewish caricature.
Okay, so we're doing the beard. Curly hair.
Yeah.
Big nose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A caricature of Jews.
Just straight out of a 1930s newspaper.
This is like Martin Luther era blood libel. This is something that is old. It is deep. It goes way, way back. It's not just the Nazis. It was, yeah, Martin Luther and the Protestants were doing it. Yeah, it's...
But Jesus was Jewish.
Yes. So?
He doesn't look Jewish. Get it? Because that's the joke. But I cannot believe that these guys thought that this was okay in any way.
And yet they did.
But they did it. All right. In Poland, of course. As if it doesn't have a history of Jews being treated poorly.
Yeah, well, okay, now their history there, it's a little different because Poland has had a hard time being a country.
Okay, fair enough.
They made the very wise choice when the Spanish Inquisition was forcing Jews to convert, die, or leave. They made the very wise choice of inviting them into their country. And due to Christian and Muslim prohibitions on charging interest at the time, all the bankers in the entire Mediterranean, Europe, Central Asia were all Jewish.
Yeah.
So basically, all of Spain's bankers moved to Poland.
Rich. Very rich.
Spain's economy tanked. Poland's economy boomed. Didn't make much of a difference because Poland didn't last very long because Poland has a very long history of being conquered and divided and...
kind of the redheaded stepchild of Europe.
Yeah, yeah. You know, for
make a sweet goulash, though.
Right. Like, after World War One, a big part of cutting down Germany's borders was to allow creating Poland again.
Aw. That's sweet.
Half of Prussia was half of Poland.
Yeah. And we have a big history of Polish immigrants because mm-hmm. of a lot of that in America. Mm-hmm. So we kind of take it for granted that Poland in itself is tenuous at best.
It's had a rough history. But turns out even people who have been subject to discrimination and suffered atrocities at the hands of Nazis and the Soviet Union, can get along and get together beating an effigy of a Jewish caricature.
Yeah.
Yeah. As I'm sure you're not surprised, the World Jewish Congress has voiced their, quote, disgust and outrage.
Yeah. This is what's so funny, because if you're going to beat or burn an effigy, it does not have to be specific. It can be literally a stick figure.
Mm-hmm.
But they chose to dress this thing up to look like, well, like a Hasidic Jew. And
yep.
That was obviously meant to be.
Oh, yeah. They knew what they were doing.
Of course, that's kind of a line, isn't it, from the Christians, that the Jews killed Jesus.
Oh, yeah. So. Blood libel. This was something that one of the big inspirations for Adolf Hitler's hatred of the Jews and his programs were Martin Luther's, one of his best-selling books of all time, called The Jews and Their Lies.
I think I've seen that being sold on Craigslist.
And Martin Luther,
there's always that one crazy person who's willing to give away books.
Yeah.
And they're always named horrible things like that.
But Martin Luther, one of the great father of the Protestant Reformation, thought that Jews deserved punishment for Jesus' death, because in the gospel, the, quote, Jews get asked, what if he's innocent? They get asked this by Pilate, and their response is, if he's innocent and we're wrong, then may the punishment fall on us and our children forever.
Well, that's easy, because they've been the underdog forever, so they're already going to be the underdog.
Now, the, quote, the Jews in that story would have been a handful of leaders.
Right. The Jews.
So instead you go after the descendants of an entire people, many of whom already didn't live in the region.
You'd think that they'd be thankful. If it weren't for the Jews killing Jesus, that he would not have died for sins, and then they wouldn't have been able to get saved. It was all part of God's plan.
Well, but they had to make sure that they blamed the Jews for it, because if they blamed...
Why are they blaming anybody? It sounds like it just was supposed to happen.
Well, in the story, it's the Romans who do it.
That always got me. Why do you blame the Jews when it was a Roman Empire that...
Well, they had to make the story plausible, because the Empire had sole discretion to execute people.
Okay.
But you can't blame the Empire if you want to be the official religion of the Empire.
You can't just make it up as you go along, Dustin. You can't do that.
Lauren, that's how religion works.
Oh my goodness.
That is literally how it works.
Religion, just making it up as you go along.
Yeah. We missed covering the story of the Notre Dame fire.
I don't know what bothers me more, the fact that the fire happened. No, I do know. The backlash, the millions of dollars have been raised to restore this building. Great. That's great. But there's more to life than a building. And nothing was really damaged, luckily.
Oh, no. The building was...
Well, the building was...
Severely damaged.
Severely damaged. But none of the artifacts were...
Yeah, the stained glass.
Even the organ that was fine. It just seems like when there's... Okay, for example, Sri Lanka. How many millions of dollars are people sending to Sri Lanka right now?
Yeah.
And people died. A building burns down, has great historical significance, therefore millions of dollars need to go to restore it. It's like, but...
To be fair, this is a... Not just a historical building. It's 800 years old. This is an artifact.
Yeah.
It's a intact artifact. Yes, Europe has a lot more of those than most of the world, but there aren't many.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking Tower of London level of
more
ancient
so.
Historical structure.
But we wouldn't have the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Or football. No, wait, sorry, wrong Notre Dame.
Yeah.
That's Notre Dame.
That's Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana.
But yeah, no, I mean, I get the significance of it, and I fully support a restoration of it, but it was the immediate millions that just blew my mind. Like, I have a hard time really understanding how much $1 million is, mm-hmm. because in my lifetime, I'll never see that. And within, 2 days, they had something like $60 million lined up for this?
$700 million,
almost $1 billion.
In private donations.
Just rich people, because they have nothing better to do.
It's a government-owned building. The French government can and will be paying for its restoration, just like they were in the process of paying for renovations.
Right.
They had decided in previous renovations to not update it to fire code because it would have been too expensive.
So whose head rolled for that one?
There is also a part of me that, and like in my brain, yes, this was a cathedral. It was a church. To me, it's an archaeological.
Yeah.
That's archaeological at that point.
Well, yeah. We don't put religious significance in it, but we do put significance in it. Cultural, historical, historical mostly.
But there's a part of me that wonders if it should be allowed to have its end.
I think you're humanizing it a bit.
Historical structures...
There's no dignified ending for historical structures. Isn't. It's just...
But the natural way of things is old buildings decay and they eventually become ruins and then they eventually become...
Not in the middle of major cities.
That's the in whole the middle point of Rome.
That's the whole point of preservation.
In the middle of Rome and Athens, there are still ruins.
That's true.
Those are major cities and have been for a very, very long time.
Yeah, but I think this one in particular... that nobody would let this one just go.
Oh, no, they won't. Brunei, for a fun little update, they are upset that everybody is being so intolerant of their insistence on following Sharia law and stoning people to death for gay sex and chopping off appendages for theft.
Right.
So they have written an official letter to the European Union, requesting their tolerance and respect.
That's ballsy. Where's Brunei?
Sumatra, I think. It's near... It shares an island with Indonesia and Malaysia.
Okay. Yeah, no. We don't have to respect
Borneo. It's on the island of Borneo. Yeah. You don't need to tolerate, especially that level of intolerance.
Yeah, when you chop it off hands and killing people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no.
What they're doing is insisting on barbaric practices that are in violation of international conventions against torture.
Right, but it's our tradition now.
They haven't been doing it for a long time. They don't need to start doing it now.
Yeah, get with the program. Apparently, the company Shell is in big trouble because they are owned in part by...
Oh, by Brunei?
Yeah. So now people are like, wait a second, if you work for Shell and you're LGBT, how do you fit in that?
Huh.
So yeah, now people are asking Shell to push for gay rights in Brunei, hoping that they can curb that a little bit. If Shell says, because they're... sorry, I misspoke. Brunei doesn't own Shell. Shell owns the oil in Brunei.
Oh, okay.
So they could have sway.
Right. And it is Royal Dutch Shell.
Right.
So it's owned more or less by the Kingdom of the Netherlands, which is a part of the European Union. Which may be part of why they are asking the EU to grant them tolerance.
Yeah.
we have one from Japan that is just adorable. The emperor is old and abdicating the throne to allow his son to take over. He wants to retire. he's old. He should be able to. And he went ahead and followed with tradition and went to a Shinto shrine to conduct the ancient tradition that has only been followed a few times to properly and ceremonially notify the gods of his upcoming abdication.
I imagine there was a lot of silence, a couple of bells ringing. Yeah. But a ritual is a ritual.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting to see that little bit of Shintoism still hanging on in Japan. And if it's going to hang on, it's going to hang on in the royalty because they are supposedly descendants of the goddess, the sun goddess. So, of course, they're going to keep that going.
Yeah.
It makes them different, that's for sure.
It is. And I think it's cute.
It is. Because anybody I ever spoke to in Japan, they basically are all agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, not everybody, but, you know, a large portion of the population, but they still practice. They still go to the Shinto shrines whenever a baby is born or a wedding. They go to the Buddhist shrines for funerals, et cetera, et cetera. It's just part of their culture because if they didn't have that, Japanese culture would look exactly the same as Hong Kong or Singapore or New York or LA. It's just that's their truly Japanese culture is in their Shinto religion.
And they've figured out a way to take the religion and turn it into a ceremonial tradition for passing of life events.
Yeah. It's cute.
If that's all that religion was, it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
Basically baptisms. Some people that's the only time they go to church. When their niece or nephew are getting baptized. He's so old and tiny.
Of course, we do need to talk about the Mueller report.
Of course.
I don't really have anything all that significant to say about it other than it is ridiculous what Barr had published, considering what's actually in the report.
Oh, we knew it as soon as he...
Oh, yeah.
Four pages?
Uh-huh.
Four pages. Are you freaking kidding me? So everybody already knew that it was going to be bullshit. But the amount of bullshit. Ugh.
Yeah.
For only four pages, he sure did pile it on.
Now, I highly recommend listening to Opening Arguments coverage of it. I do have that linked in the show notes. Andrew does a really good job of explaining the legalese because lawyers write legal speak, and legal speak is not stuff that is accessible to normal people.
Right.
It never was, never will be.
Yeah. You might as well be speaking Latin.
Oh, yeah. And so that is very helpful to get that. So I highly recommend listening to it and the follow-up episodes since then that do cover it. But to give you the super summarized version, yes, there was coordination between, or at least attempts to coordinate between the Trump campaign and the Russian government. But the people involved in that, in Trump's family in his campaign, were too stupid to know what they were doing was wrong, and the particular crimes require knowing that what you're doing is wrong.
Innocence by idiocy.
Because the laws were written assuming nobody'd be stupid enough to use their idiot son to help run a campaign.
Yeah. Well, and from the very beginning, I figured that this was, hey, these Russian guys offer to help. We would be dumb to refuse that.
Yeah.
Because an average person is like, sure, give me money. I don't care. Give me whatever. Give me the dirt on Hillary.
Yeah.
Without
man
thinking, going the next step and saying, but is that treasonous? Nope. The average person, and Trump is at least, if not below average, can't, unless you're a politician, a trained politician, you don't think that way. And he's not. That's what got him. He was thinking business. You pat my back, I pat yours. That kind of thing. That was business deals, not political. And thus furthering the argument that he should not be in any kind of seat of power.
Yep. And also that business experience is not relevant to politics.
Yes.
Political experience is valuable.
Yes.
Because it is its own type of business.
Yes.
you know, it would be kind of like taking a saying, hey, you're a good engineer. Do this open heart surgery, please. Yeah, those are different specialties.
Yeah.
You can learn the other skills.
I think that was explained just fine. You didn't have to conflate it with another
okay.
weird, like, as you always do.
I can edit that out.
You don't. Don't. It's so you. I love you.
I love you too. And then on the obstruction of justice part, Bob Barr said, you know, it was inconclusive as to whether or not there was obstruction of justice from the Mueller report. It was more, you can't indict the president, so he can't conclude that it was obstruction of justice.
Legalese.
He can't make that determination, so he didn't make that determination. Congress needs to make that determination.
So start writing into your Congress people.
Yeah. All right. Well, now let's go ahead and get to the some of the live audio of the where we get loud and drunk.
Woo!
Well, I get drunk and we all get loud.
Woo!
Lauren, what should we do? Let's take this opportunity to talk about stuff. I don't know.
So what did you have up for us today?
Okay,
Dustin?
So next yes. up, we've got from Danielle. Feedback. Let's get just jump right into feedback.
Okay.
Danielle, via Patreon, I really enjoy your live streams and be great to see them more often. Perhaps you could consider doing live stream specials to raise funds for charities or special events.
Or microphones. Not soundboards.
We've done that. A couple years ago, we did a Light the Night for Leukemia and Lymphoma Society 12-hour live stream. I did not time out the drinking quite right, so I was shot by hour 9 out of 12. Oh,
but this
that
time
was bad.
It seems like you're doing all right.
I got a decent break in the middle.
Yeah.
I never had a break in that 12-hour
one. Yeah, I think
one.
That's the whole thing. You gotta break it up.
That's a huge difference.
Yeah, for sure. I think this was nice to have, like, breaks.
Heck, I mowed the lawn.
Yeah, so live streams, they are fun. They are awesome. We took a break from them because they are ridiculously draining and a lot of work.
Dustin's had a really hard time getting video figured out, and live stream is really boring without video.
It's true.
So now we've got decent webcams that have wide angle, and
we could do it more. We could have something for Patreon members too, and
later
on
to do some money raising.
Yeah,
and the one of the things that was really interesting was after that live stream, because I got a lot of the people involved in the Atheist and Skeptic podcaster group on Facebook, and like everybody had their own hour, and it was a lot of fun. It was great. It was awesome. We raised $800-900.
Fresh.
Nice.
That's not as good as a lot of live streams do, because there are some that do $20,000-$30,000, but we got a fucking plaque.
Yeah, there we go. You got a plaque.
I got a piece of clear acrylic.
And I got enough money raised to get a fleece jacket. Yeah.
Yes! A fleece jacket!
I wear that in the, like, 2 weeks of actual fall and 2 weeks of actual spring here in Boise.
Nice.
Yeah,
so,
it's nice.
Yeah, the past 2 weeks.
All right, let's hear it.
It's summer now.
Yeah,
but yes. So this is something we could do more. There had been enough. Sure. There was enough interest in the group there that right after it, people are wanting to do, like, maybe every month we could do one of these.
Right.
And I was like, okay, that's fine. If somebody else wants to take charge of some of these, and nobody else took charge.
Well, now you got like a co-host, and there's three of us, and
baby.
Now we can do.
Yeah, but we got babysitters.
Yeah, but you got a babysitter. I mean, if we have enough time, let's not poo-poo this idea of sometime in the future.
Oh, yeah.
Sometime. So,
in the fall, I think we might be able to pull it off.
For my birthday, it'll be fun.
Oh, there we go.
All right.
Aaron's birthday live stream.
And
Aaron, the dirty laundry.
Yes, we'll just do a special.
Yeah,
so special. We will do it again. It's just been a little bit of a break because it is quite draining.
Yeah, and summer's coming up and it's hot. It gets hot in here, so I don't think we've wanted to do it.
And then fall is pretty good.
Yeah.
We get
so. What's the next feedback?
All right, so from Vinny from New York. Love your show. A few weeks back, you mentioned something about wanting a sound effect board for the show. How much does that cost?
So here's the thing. It was a joke, and I did email back, and I think Dustin felt that I was being harsh in that email, but what I'm saying,
I emailed before you.
Okay, good. Oh, but you just didn't reply all? Is that why I didn't see
No, I replied all with...
Oh.
That's
you said
mostly
it was a joke.
A joke.
Yeah.
It would cost
right
$400 because we need to replace the interface to get more inputs. And I would my main goal on building something would be something with a Raspberry Pi.
Right.
And that'd probably cost $100. Turns out it's gonna be a little bit more than $100. Vinny from New York.
So
send enough money to fund the project. So it's happening.
I get a soundboard. I get a soundboard.
So here's the whole thing. Can I just tell you the funny thing about the soundboard? Let me tell you about why we came up with that. Because there's another podcast in town that uses it all the time. That's how we started talking about having a soundboard. And Lauren was like, yeah, I should have a soundboard, but I'll just use my mouth. So that was the whole point of like, well, we don't want to become like a morning DJ radio thing.
No, it's still going to be my voice. There'll still be pre-recorded noises of me making air horn. Fart noises. Fuck the patriarchy will be on there.
Yeah.
Burn it down. Burn it all down.
Right.
Will be on there so that when I am not here, when I am not present. Yeah.
Then we
you
can
guys
use
can
it.
Still make cool Lorne quips.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
While I'm taking care of the dogs or the baby.
I think my whole point of that was that we don't want the soundboard to be like, I'm going to prompt you to start saying things so I can use this sound on the soundboard. So I'm going to guide you through I want you to say. That was my whole joke of the soundboard. And then it got blown up into now we're getting a soundboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, tasteful.
Fuck taste.
Worst case scenario, if it starts to get not tasteful, I will edit it out.
Yeah, perfect.
Pure and simple.
Great.
Fuck the patriarchy.
Vinny, where's my microphone?
I am the fucking patriarch of this podcast. I have full editorial control.
Yeah, we do know this, yes.
Fuck the patriarchy, but I have control.
Yeah, we know Dustin has control. When you left, we totally got that. You hovering.
That's something that we need to do more often.
In the background.
Is kick Dustin out once in a while.
I think so. I think it might be nice to have a female-centered
All right,
episode.
Lauren, if you want some training.
We just talked about food.
Oh, gosh. Lauren, if you want to learn how to actually run it, then we will do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's how that sounds.
There's a play button. And
yeah, exactly.
And here's how you mark edit points, and here's how you watch to see if people are actually talking.
Are you saying that? Are you saying this like you wouldn't do this? Like this
no,
is
I'm
why
saying
you
I would,
wouldn't be able to do this.
I would
this?
Very happily
would
train
happily
Lauren on
okay,
it.
Train me because he knows that I won't.
No, I would happily train you. Period. Because I know you wouldn't.
I am way too to be able to.
So
monitor.
Why don't you then
train you?
No. Why don't you then work on your producer skills and sit in the background while there's three people? Just
I can
like,
do that too.
Yeah. And you work on your producer type, I'm not going to be on mic skills. Because I do know that you do 1A. 1A, do you want to be a producer?
1A, want to be?
Yeah, to be. well, you have talked about that, but you said on the first hour, and we can go all the way back, you said, hey, I would be your producer for my daughter's podcast, so why don't you just test that out on adult
because
women?
Because she's cute.
We're cute!
We're adorable!
Oh my gosh!
We're fucking fuzzy up in here. Warm and fuzzy.
Come on, why don't you, I think the
mostly
thing is...
Mostly because I haven't
like,
shaved yet.
Yeah, so I think, you know, putting that, learning that new skill. Learning the new skill of
Actually,
being
it's not,
still
it's
in...
It's more practicing the skill.
It's
okay,
not,
practicing
it's
the
skill.
It's
not a new skill, it's something I do every fucking
no,
week.
No, I get it, but I think like... practicing the skill of being in control but not on mic.
You need to practice the skill of shutting the fuck up.
Yeah. And just like,
oh,
and like not
too
that
far.
I know that was a little
oh,
far.
I don't
that was
mean
a little
it, Dustin,
too far.
You're okay.
All right, no, so no, the no. soundboard is going to be a lot of fun. I am going to get to play with some new software, building a Raspberry Pi with a touchscreen and the Caster soundboard program, or if Sam
gonna do a whole
actually
video
responds
about it.
To this. And suggests that I work with him on his program. Right. I might try to use his one.
Yeah.
But the caster one from Jupiter Broadcasting looks pretty freaking good.
Well, thank you, Vinny. We appreciate it. It will be fun.
You have no idea.
I know. That's amazing. And I won't poo-poo, but I'd like it better if Lauren and I get a ladies' hour once in a while.
Like, those are two completely unrelated things, though.
That's possible.
No.
Okay.
No, it's not unrelated. It means that I would put up with the soundboard more if we got a ladies' hour.
Okay.
I would be... That's called compromise.
Okay, so from Danielle, Dustin is great, but do we want a ladies' hour, please?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That will happen.
Yes.
We'll figure it out.
Exactly. And that was from Danielle? Oh, perfect. Yeah. I feel like Danielle is on board. So that's one step closer.
Also, Danielle is watching our baby right now. Yes, and Danielle is the one who wants more live streams. So
there's
a connection here.
You can feel it.
Yes.
And from
Kelly, I can babysit or my son can free.
There we go. I think we've good. We'll be in discussions. We'll be in discussions about this
while we design our cookbook and crafting.
Yeah.
Oh, I am totally on board for that. I don't
just
think
adding
it should be patron
one
only,
more
though.
Thing. You don't think it should be patron only?
No, I think
we sell that shit.
Yeah, patron or for sale. Yeah,
that's
definitely.
What I'm saying. Like, it's got to be a top dollar.
And I want my section for my recipes too.
My section.
Well, no, yeah, absolutely.
And we will mark
it
down.
It won't be a ladies' cookbook. Right. It will be the atheist nomad's cookbook.
Yeah, and then we'll mark it down as a patriarchal section.
Yes.
With fucking seared black and salmon.
Yeah, perfect.
And
I mean, whatever, we're not going to argue that it's not going to be good. I'm just saying it's fun. It's a fun title.
Okay,
it's a fun
section. The patriarchy section. Sure. Yeah. I can deal.
Just because you're in the patriarchy doesn't mean that you can't make good food.
Yeah, that's a really sexist thing to say, Dustin.
Gosh, Dustin.
Okay, so we still haven't really talked about any of the awesome news items we have to cover.
Yeah, he had 5 hours worth of news items, and
I wanted to make sure we went down to the last 20 minutes,
and he's like, oh my God.
We had 5 hours. I wanted to make sure we wouldn't run out of things to talk about.
Oh, I don't think between at least the two ladies on the couch, we would have ever run out of anything to talk about.
I run out of ideas all the time.
And on top of that, you're pretty good about keeping us on track. So this was never going to be an
issue.
With a script.
Well, not really a script, but some scripted out bits.
I prepared an outline.
Yes, an outline is the right word. I have no problem with accepting the fact that I'm a nerd.
I love you.
I am as much of a dad nerd that I got home yesterday from work and I pulled into the driveway and Lauren and the baby were gone. And I started singing, Lauren's gone, do, 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 do. Lauren's gone, do, 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 do. Because I could get work done to the theme of Baby Shark.
Yeah,
because
I am a nerd.
Frickin' dad nerd.
Well,
and I own that.
Right. No, you should, as you should. I think we all have our nerdy parts.
The U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit ruled that atheists can be barred from house prayers.
So, okay.
Well, but
wow,
the, but
this
most
blew
of the,
my mind. Because I thought the whole point of the invocations...
The Greece ruling.
The Greece?
Yeah, the Greece ruling, where the Supreme Court ruled in somebody versus the town of Greece, New York, in the Supreme Court.
Oh, okay.
They ruled.
I'm like, why are we talking about Greece? What are we talking
they
about?
They ruled that
not the country.
You can have sectarian invocations as long as anybody can do it.
My thing is, why still in 2019 are we even having any kind of prayer in our government? But that's just me.
No, what?
And
you set
I feel
your
like,
expectations so high,
oh, I
darling.
I know. But I feel like when I was in like... I'm saying like too much because I'm tired. When I was at the house, the specific person that I knew, who was actually UU representative, wasn't even there for the beginning part. So I think it's funny because I feel like most of the atheists probably don't even arrive until after they know that the prayer is done.
Because
you can do that.
Yeah.
So
in this case, it would have been shortly after the Greece ruling. Dan Barker, co-president of the Freedom from Religion Foundation, who is an ordained minister from some Pentecostal church that believes once saved, always saved, and once ordained, always saved, always ordained.
Mm. Mm.
So he is an ordained minister.
Take that to the grave.
And co-president of the Freedom from Religion Foundation. He put in with the house chaplain a request to provide an invocation. And the house chaplain, a Catholic priest, said no. So he sued.
Good.
Freedom from Religion Foundation, that's what they do. They file lawsuits. So they sued. And they lost at the district court. It's gone to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, or the Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit, and they lost there. The ruling was the issue isn't that he is an atheist. The issue is that the requirement from the House of Representatives is that it be a prayer, and a prayer has to be religious.
And that's where the bullshit is.
This is different from an invocation.
Okay. Yeah. So they're not talking about invocation. They're talking about straight up the House of Representatives still opens with a freaking prayer.
Right.
It's the House opening prayer, period.
And it will always be the House opening prayer.
Or a sermon or whatever.
No, opening prayer.
Prayer.
No, I know. I'm saying that there's also other parts onto that. And it just is dumb.
And because this predates the courts, how the hell are they going to say no to it?
Right.
This is fucking bullshit.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I was trying to say. It's dumb.
It is dumb. It's just a waste of time, and it's a waste of money, and it's a waste of... At least let him give a freaking secular prayer. I mean, come on. We call it that.
Right.
A secular invocation.
Invocation.
But the issue is...
That's not a prayer.
Lower deliberative bodies, which are under the Greece ruling, do invocations, not prayers.
Right.
And the House of Representatives, being very old and very high up in the chain, does prayers. That is bullshit. The courts ruled incorrectly. This is actually one of those cases where I don't think FFRF had a strategy error in filing the case. This is a case that went the wrong way. I'm not surprised considering the direction courts are going towards theocracy.
Towards Cray-Cray Town?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, crayfish. That sounds good.
I did see there's a fish. I've never had crayfish. Is it mild? Is it a mild crustacean?
It's pretty mild, yeah.
From Kelly, isn't there supposed to be a separation between church and state?
Exactly.
That's what we keep saying, but no. There actually, I mean, there has been, but in certain areas, certain little things, such as the House of Representatives prayer, it's always been there.
The Senate, they're all these.
The National Day of Prayer. I mean, that's ingrained into the culture of politics that it can't be.
Oh, and so these are at very different levels. The House and Senate prayer, opening prayers, date back to the 1700s.
Mm.
Church services in the House of Representatives, or in the Capitol building, date back to the early 1800s when the building opened.
That doesn't mean it's good.
The National Day of Prayer dates back to the 1950s.
Yeah, well,
that is very different.
Yeah, for sure.
Anti-communist. Is your husband ever going to pick you up?
He's
right there.
Mary, like, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Mary.
You rock. You're awesome.
Does he want a piece
of
cake?
Oh, okay.
Don't let her see the cake.
Yeah, right.
Does the baby want cake?
Most likely. Don't most babies want cake?
Bye. Aloha. Means hello and goodbye.
All right, what's the next new story?
All right, so Bachman thinks that Trump is the most godly biblical president. Let's hear her own words.
Oh, here we go.
And I will say to your listeners, in my lifetime, I have never seen a more biblical president than I have seen in Donald Trump. He has so impressed me with what he's done. And we haven't even talked about Israel, well, what he has done to advance Israel.
He is
highly biblical. And I would say to your listeners, never see a more godly, biblical president again in our lifetimes. So we need to be not only praying for him, we need to support him, in my opinion, in every possible way that we can.
Oh my God, there's how can people be that brainwashed?
Also,
frontal lobe,
right,
call back to for people in the main podcast feed to the future, a callback slash for throw forward frontal lobe damage,
right,
or deficiency.
No, I don't know. Also, this Israel thing.
Oh, Israel thing pisses me off so much. I want to have an opinion, but yeah. I'm just a white girl from Boise, so I feel like I can't have one.
Right, which is what they should be feeling, too.
I came up with an opinion.
I'm a white woman who's privileged. I should not be saying anything about this right now.
I came up with an opinion on the Israel issue.
Okay.
Eating pizza on the Via Dolorosa, watching Muslim worshipers walking past paramilitary Israeli police,
mm-hmm,
with Uzis leaning up against armored vehicles,
mm-hmm,
in the old city of Jerusalem back in 2007, while Israel was celebrating the 40th anniversary of their taking the West Bank and Golan Heights. And the Gaza Strip had just seized, or Hamas had just seized the Gaza Strip. It was a very tense time. I was right there eating pizza.
Yeah, because why wouldn't you be?
Because pizza.
Right, pizza.
We were walking through, we were hungry. And yeah. It took us 3 hours to get through the border because some members of our group had been to Syria or Iraq on archaeological digs.
And sorry, Rocco.
Got interrogated for 3 hours. And so I was sitting there watching this, and my conclusion was, okay, so it's the fucking rock in the middle of the Dome of the Rock that is the problem. Drop that in the fucking Mariana Trench and nuke the whole place.
Yeah. Well, it's a religion that's the problem, and the fact that people think that...
Oh, no, it's not.
You don't think it's religion?
Three religions have placed a ridiculous amount.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yes.
But three religions have placed a ridiculous amount of importance on
a
single meteorite.
Right.
That needs to be removed.
And then they would worship the place where the meteorite was.
Oh, if they want to fight over the Mariana Trench, go for it.
Well, no. I mean, they would still fight
over.
No,
it would be the ground. And the ground that was
is holy.
nuke? Yeah, seriously.
Yes, but then you're going to then you're nuking all this other ecosystem stuff. And I don't...
Give them 70. There's not much living
out. You don't know that.
There's not much ecosystem there in the desert. They've already destroyed that.
There's tons of things in the ecosystem.
They've already destroyed that thanks to the Ottoman Empire's tax on trees.
No. We're not talking about trees. Like
the desertification of that region is largely thanks to the Ottoman Empire's
tracks. We should go plant it with trees.
Let's do it.
There are projects to do that.
Let's just do that.
Arbor Day. Go donate a tree to the...
There are already projects doing that in Israel.
I can tell that Dustin's getting more drunk because he's getting more angry and louder.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's how you overpower the conversation. Rather than just being snide and bitey.
No, I seriously...
You get louder.
You do.
Male versus female.
Okay, and sober, I need to clarify the statements that you just heard me make. I do not actually think it'd be a good idea to nuke Jerusalem. To understand the complexity of the issue, the Temple Mount... with the Western Wall, the Dome of the rock that is in that dome, which needs to be for the Jewish temple, is the rock that the altar sits on. It is the single most holy site in Judaism. For Islam, that rock is where Ishmael where Abraham attempted to sacrifice Ishmael. It is the rock where Muhammad ascended to heaven. And it is the third most holy site in Islam. It's a meteorite sitting in a mosque at the moment. And those two groups place very, very high significance on it. So do evangelical Christians. Because for evangelicals, for the end of the world to happen, the Jews have to be able to rebuild the temple. To rebuild the temple requires tearing down the Dome of the Rock and rebuilding Solomon's temple with an altar on top of the rock, and a heifer, red heifer, has to be sacrificed on top of it. And then Armageddon can happen. Well, if you tear down the Dome of the Rock, Armageddon will happen. Because we'll have World War III as the Islamic world attacks. It would be ugly. Absolutely ugly. And I do recognize that the weekend that I was there was a particularly tense time. It was, I think, a week after Hamas had seized control of the Gaza Strip. And Israel was in the middle of celebrating the 40th anniversary of their victory in the six-day war when they conquered the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, Sinai Peninsula, Golan Heights, and East Jerusalem. And not just conquered it, but annexed it. Originally, Jerusalem was supposed to, as part of the partition plan for Palestine, Jerusalem was supposed to be an international city, independent of either state, with representatives from the major religions and the people in the area having a say and a part in the government that would be neutral and very pluralistic. It never happened. It never became a independent city because as soon as Israel declared independence, their neighbors invaded, they went to war, and Jerusalem was divided. Israel got the western half, Jordan got the eastern half. In the 6 Days War, Israel took all of that. The single best solution would be to go back to that original plan, making it an independent city, keeping it separate from the politics of the nations around it. That would be the best thing for peace in that region. That will never happen. Donald Trump and his administration recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, violating international custom because nobody recognizes that as legitimate Israeli territory. It is supposed to be a separate city, which is why up until Trump moved the embassy, there weren't embassies in Jerusalem. They were all in Tel Aviv, which is recognized by the world as Israel's capital. And that's despite the fact that most of the consulates in Jerusalem are bigger than the embassies in Tel Aviv. You don't put your embassy outside of the capital generally. And so that was an important signifying that no, that is not Jerusalem is not the legitimate capital of Israel. And it cannot be the legitimate capital of Israel. But evangelicals want it to be because they want it to be under Jewish control, because they want the temple to be rebuilt. And evangelicals have Trump's ear. Evangelicals are trying to use Trump to bring about the end of the world. It will not actually destroy the world. It'll just cause a massive war that we would definitely be drug into. It's bad. And it's a solution. The solution is not likely to happen anytime soon, if ever. And it's a powder keg with people throwing matches at it all the time. Yeah, it's hyperbolic to say the city needs to be removed from the map, but it'd make everything simpler. All right, let's get back to some of the audio from the live stream. As Ashkenazi and Sephardic Jews,
oh, this one's a better one. This is a better one. I like this one. No, I want to. I want to hear good. You and your real deep opinion about this one.
This one's this one's actually
no. It is a good one. I like it. Let's go. Let's do it.
As Ashkenazi and Sephardic Jewish communities are merging in Israel,
because they share area.
Yes. Because mm-hmm. they share area and are intermarrying and having babies together and right. whatnot.
Right.
That's how communities merge.
Right.
They are debating about whether or not legumes are okay during Passover.
I mean, you if you're going to talk issues. About splitting hairs.
Right.
So they all agree that bread is not okay during Passover.
No. Not bread.
But is bean bread.
But the Eastern European Ashkenazi Jewish community does not eat Kenyanot legumes.
Okay.
This includes chickpeas, soy beans.
No hummus for them.
No hummus. No beans. And this is all because of
Was that racist? Was that a little racist?
Ugh, no.
Okay, good.
No.
Because of a 14th century French rabbi who...
Sticking his nose in everybody's business.
A big one at that, probably. Looked
at crop rotation practices in play at the time and determined that the legumes would be contaminated by the wheat.
Mm-hmm.
So you
that
have
was grown
wheat,
in off years.
And then the next season you grow legumes, and those legumes are growing in the same area as the previous year's yeah. wheat would be contaminated, therefore no legumes
at all.
And that was freaking forever ago, and nobody gives a damn about crop rotations anymore. And
yeah, they do.
Even though they should.
People still do it.
Well, they do it. They have to do it. I mean, that's the only way yeah. that you agriculturally and can sustain an area for
so right. Ashkenazi Jews who left France thanks to the Inquisition and a number of other issues, ended up moving to Eastern Europe, or were already in Eastern Europe. That is a different population from the Sephardic Jews.
We are so old. Sorry.
Who don't have that issue, and so they're now debating.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
I mean, that's
because
cool.
you can bring moment. Forth an argument. Right. You're allowed to argue this stuff. Which mm-hmm. is awesome. Like, some religions, yeah, that's not the way.
Like, I mean, what's I would much rather debate about legumes than debate about, you know, nuking places.
Well, like one family.
That's just me.
Nuking entire ecosystems.
Yeah, you know, whatever.
I don't care about the ecosystem. I care about the fucking city. Like in one case, a family where the mom was from one group and the dad was from another group.
Are we talking about legumes? Are we back on legumes? Okay, good.
Ashkenazi versus...
And they had
so, Shaka Zombie. I don't know.
Sephardic. Ashkenazi and Sephardic.
Sephardic.
One parent was Ashkenazi. One parent was Sephardic.
Burt.
And Ashkenazi. The children were thinking it was really weird that they couldn't buy like hardly anything in the grocery store.
It is a little limiting.
Yes. Yeah.
No hummus. No hummus in the grocery store.
Oh, it's so good.
And that's going to really limit you in that region.
Yeah, for sure.
And they called a mock rabbinical tribunal in the family, the parents as the judges, and the kids argued it.
Yeah.
And convinced their parents legumes are okay.
Good.
Good for those
Passover.
Good kids. I are they kids or were they just the children of... Adult children of this group? Or?
No, this is like a 10 and 12 year old.
Oh, okay. Ah, freaking awesome.
Awesome. The thing is that like, this reminds me of like a whole 30 diet where it's like, you know what? For this part in time, we can't have sugar of any kind. And so now it's like for this part of Passover, and how long is Passover? Just a day? A week?
A week.
A week? Which, I mean, a lot of religions seem to, I'm finding out, a lot of religions seem to have through certain points of a year have fasting stuff, even Christianity. Oh, yeah. Even Christianity, where some Christian groups like go 90 days fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, the crazy ones do,
right? Like anytime they feel like they need to get closer to God or like punished or something like that, they'll be like, I'm gonna do a 90-day fast.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't
or
a true 60
fast. Day fast or a 30 day. No, it's not a true fast. It's
of course
just like
you
the
can
fasting.
Tell that we have an unhealthy relationship with food.
Right. It's just like the fasting where it's just you break fast after sundown or something or yeah. after 6 p.m. or something
that
like
what
that.
What I should do?
Ramadan is after sundown.
Right, but this one is like a time, I think, as opposed to a sundown, sunup type thing.
I've done both a 24-hour and 36-hour fast.
But did you break it? Or was it a...
At the end of the 24 or 36 hours.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is like, you couldn't physically, literally do a 90-day fast.
No, not possible.
Because what they're fasting is like, nothing goes in your mouth.
Nutrients from sunlight.
Right. Like, I'm just...
These are people that are full of bullshit.
Right, exactly. But I'm glad to hear that the adults listen to the children and that the children must have had some really legitimate debate. You know what? That family's cool.
It's not just that family either. It's the whole region is having to go through this this emergence of culture.
Yeah, but it's rough across the region.
Do we need to catch up on chat, by the way?
Yeah.
We do. Colleen... Aaron, unplug his mic.
Where's the baby when we need her to unplug
his mic? I have the interface behind me.
We would have to sneak by you.
Yes, exactly. We couldn't do that.
Gag you and tie you up on the chair.
This is why we're going to have a ladies' hour.
Colleen, again, I'm so kidding. Thank you, Colleen. Aww. Do not.
She really wants that book.
Yeah, she does. She's like, actually, wait, whoa,
Kelly. Yeah, he's tipsy. LOL. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty good.
Yeah,
buzzed.
We're totally fine.
This is the beginning. I'm buzzed. This is just the beginning.
We've got 6 minutes till five.
But 43 minutes.
Go home, Dustin. You're drunk.
I know. I feel like we need to cut this at five.
She needs to.
I need to.
Okay.
We'll keep going for a little bit.
Yeah. If you're in the Boise area on any given Sunday, because now it's got no real... It used to be since last Sunday, it was every third Sunday. It's stupid. Edge Brewing has an open mic now. I host that open mic. Jinx is May 19th. She will be at Edge, and I will be there hosting. Stay tuned for I'm doing a backyard benefit with my friend Donna. That will be on June 22nd. It's a comedy show in a backyard to benefit Pride Foundation. If you know anything about Pride Foundation, it does not have to do with Pride the weekend. It is actually scholarships for the LGBTQ community.
Oh,
for
good.
College.
Because I know the Pride weekend that I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. That shit's murky.
No. But no, it's a Pride Foundation. Okay. Check it out. Cool. They're a really cool foundation, and I wanted to help out in some way, and this is how I can help out.
Aww, that's awesome.
Which is to get some really cool comics together. Jinx will be one of them. Riley Hoy, Mattio Martinez, who is in California, LA, will be, and I hope I got his last name right. Mattio is what I call him all the time, but I'm doing a backyard benefit on June 22nd. So just look out for that. If you're following me, you will start seeing the event page. It will be in Boise, obviously.
Nice.
I don't know. I'm just around, you know. I've been doing this comedy stuff. I'm here like just about every week. And
yeah. How's Cooper?
Oh man, my old pup. If you go to Instagram, you can see some pictures of him.
He's so old.
He is so old. He's getting he lost a tooth a little while ago. He is getting confused at night. Aww. And I have to show him where the food is, which is kind of maybe this morning, which is kind of making me a little nervous because he's also a little constipated. You know, he's old. I don't know.
Yeah, he kind of had a scare last summer. Winter?
I mean, I have a scare all the time with that dog. He's 14, so...
Yeah.
I don't want to think about it.
Okay.
Because then I'm going to get really sad. But he's doing fine right now. He's at home.
As long as he's comfortable and happy.
He is. Yeah. So as far as I know, he's pretty comfortable and happy.
I swear Bucky's getting dementia, but yeah. I think it's more he's spiteful.
I know. That's what I think, too. I really feel like dogs can be spiteful, but my mom says they can't.
Yes, they can.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I know.
From Danielle in the chat, please have more comedy shows that I can bring my kids to. I miss out on so much.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's
and
hard.
And from Kelly,
yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So Edge is technically, it's a family friendly, but it's rated R comedy. Like, you can bring your child in, but only if you're okay with the F word being thrown around, unfortunately. I'm sorry, right. Danielle.
Like, Kylie's fine because she's freaking right. 18 months old. They, right. They're not repeating everything yet. Lilith,
I mean, we had a kid who was there for a little while, and you know, we let the parents know, and the parents seemed that not to mind because the kid wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, no.
So if the Edge is open, and if you want to come.
It's just late.
It's just later. It's at 8. I don't have clean comedy, Danielle. That's the problem. I feel like that's kind of one of those issues.
That is an issue in the region. There was a clean comedy group. Comedy Sports? Are they still around?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But that's an improv group. Ew. And improv is always, always
sorry,
clean
I hate,
for the most part. It's usually mostly clean. Here's the thing. Clean comedy is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you start out as a clean comic. It's really hard for me to be clean. I mean, I guess it can be clean in some things, but I don't know.
I still think you saying the F word is really unnatural.
You, me, I know. I've been saying a lot more, though.
But it just doesn't sound like you.
You're right, because it...
You're forcing it, aren't
me.
You?
It
because
is.
You because it's cool. Because
no,
the comedy
think
kids think it's cool.
No, I think it's actually me. It's really me. You just
well,
didn't
if the
know
comedy kids jumped
along
off a bridge, would you...
Probably.
Yeah, because it's called base jumping and it's badass.
Yeah, right. No, I mean, let's talk about this in the fact that I'm just going to talk about this because it is the last hour and then I'll let you guys kind of go in. Since starting the podcast and since starting comedy, I think I am in the best place that I've ever been in my life.
Aww. So Danielle
and
said...
it's all sure. Thanks to me.
Kelly said, you guys are an amazing group. Love it. We'll be tuning in more.
Yay.
Danielle
awesome.
Said, my kids say the F word, don't judge me.
Oh, that's cool. So then come to Edge Brewing Company.
Come to the fucking brewery.
If it's not too late, come.
Yeah.
And join us.
Leo's keeping you up all night with the teething anyway. Just hang out and have a beer.
Right. Put some beer on the gums and
they
have
still
a
have
fall
poutine
asleep.
There?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't looked at the menu, but probably.
I was there a couple months ago and they still
it's
have the
all
Edge
about
poutine.
The poutine. Yeah.
But I do. I mean, let me wrap this up in the 300th episode. I know this is 301.
Now.
Okay. I get it. Like, edit it back up into 300. Okay. But I do have to say that, like, yes, there was a rough period. There was a rough patch where I was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I'm really sad in my own life right now. And it's really hard for me to come here and talk about all these sad things. But then I shared that, and I think we flipped that around.
Mm-hmm. I made a change.
Yeah, we definitely made a change, and that was amazing. And I think, you know, finding...
Aaron, you helped save the show.
Thank you.
Because I was having a hard time with it as well.
Oh, yeah.
And the listeners were having a hard time with it.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And I'm so happy that I'm looking at the camera now. I'm so happy that that you let me be the co-host. It's been amazing. And again, comedy has kind of brought me into my own space. I mean, I'm still the dramatic person. I still have drama in my life. I still,
but you can express it a little bit better.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the thing is that I'm finding better words, and I'm finding an outlet for it. And I am starting to use the tools.
Good.
That have been given to me.
Okay. Right. Well, you need to get out
pack
of here.
Up. Yes. Thank you, everybody. This was amazing. Love you all.
We should cover, though, the last bit of chat. Kelly, my kid swears, but he retracts quickly. There's no such thing as clear language for fifth graders.
No.
Colleen, if I weren't hundreds of miles away, I'd go. Be sure to post on Instagram when you're down in L.A.
She said that there's no clean language for 15-year-olds.
Fifth graders.
Sorry, fifth graders. They probably really liked our fart jokes earlier, though. Rocco.
And Colleen, if we're ever in L.A., that happened a couple years ago.
Yeah, but we didn't do a show.
No, I did record from L.A.
That's true. Oh, that was deep.
Yeah, that was a thing.
That was a thing. Portland, it's very possible for us to do a show in Portland.
LA would actually be possible to do a show in.
And we could...
Bay Area would be a little bit better if you've got connections, if you can put together...
A job interview?
Together a show.
Oh, wait, sorry.
We can go do a show. How from Fat Girl Ballet, how about Milwaukee? We could do Milwaukee. That's it's a flight. It's a single flight from Boise. We have direct flights there. If you can put together a show, if you can help facilitate a show there that can pay for the trip, we can go to Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
This is true anywhere. The places I know we have enough listeners to pull that off, actually.
DC.
And the San Francisco Bay.
Plus, it has to be mid-April in DC. I want to go to the Cherry Blossom Festival.
Colleen does have a brother up in Portland.
Nice.
Portland is quite plausible.
Yeah, we've got family there. Got
Portland's
family
plausible
there.
Even if we can't get anybody to listen. The people coming to pay for the show. But yeah.
Oh, we will. We'll enjoy the shit out of those meatses.
So anybody or everybody on the live stream, thank you. Bye. You guys have been awesome. Aaron, thank you.
Thank you.
Rock.
Thank you. Rocco loves you.
Everybody that's joined us, you've rocked.
Oh my God. Yeah. Way to keep it going for 5 hours, guys.
Well, I hope you all enjoyed that. And that's it for this week. The rest of the stuff we recorded during the live stream you'll be hearing in the next couple months when we take breaks for travel and whatnot. So be on the lookout for that. And listeners, remember, not all those who wander are lost.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice, and while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.